is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you show yourself approved in the God, the workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this morning to 1 Thessalonians 5, where we're in the analysis of verses 16 through 18. The local church is designed by God to be the classroom of Christianity, a place where believers in their particular geographical canons assemble themselves together for the dissemination, the assimilation of the divine viewpoint of life and their proper functioning's communicated gift, that today being that of the pastor-teacher. The fact that we're here, we're commanded to test the spirits in regards to that which is taught. How we are able to test the spirit is by making sure that God the Holy Spirit, who indwells each and every one of us, also is in his fulfilling role, his filling ministry, and that demands the fact that we've been keeping tabs in regards to our sin nature, personal sin of life, that we employ the rebound technique if necessary, allowing God the Holy Spirit, therefore, to enlighten us and guide us and direct us to all truth, protect us otherwise from all the human viewpoint idiocy that's out there in the world, seeking to find a place to lay and find a home in regards to negative volition and the STA otherwise with respect to mankind. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for all that you provide for positive volition to maintain and sustain their spiritual advance, fulfilling your will for their lives. We thank you for the enlightenment of your word in this regard. We ask once again this morning that God the Holy Spirit do the very same in this respect. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here now in verses 16 through 18 that were taken as a unit, Paul addresses the subject of the mental attitude and prayer. Rereading the two verses here, which they are short, but they pack a lot of doctrine in them. First of all, the mental attitude command is to rejoice always. Then, with respect to prayer, verse 17, we are to pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything, give thanks, which is obviously a part of the prayer protocol. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So just pick up point one here. We was just getting going on this last class. Having addressed responsibilities of application towards one another in the previous verses with respect to encouraging one another and not seeking revenge tactics when wrong and things of this nature, Paul now shifts gears to address individual responsibilities to self, for our own personal petition of our spiritual well-being. Two, he does so with a triplet of commands, with each preceded by a modifier. We have two adverbs, always and without ceasing, in verses 16 and 17. Then the prepositional phrase, in everything. That these modifiers add emphasis and clarification. So three, he then concludes with explanation as to why these imperatives are important with an extended comment in verse 18b, if you will, for this is God's will. So four, now the first command of verse 16 finds logical support, rejoicing always, finds logical support in the next two imperatives, to pray without ceasing and in everything give thanks. So five, the first, rejoice always, looks to the inner dynamics of the adjusted believer with respect to their mental attitude. This joy that we are to have is that which we refer to as plus H, or plus J, however you may want to do it. That is, happiness as provided by God in regards to the Christian believer. So it looks to the inner dynamics. It's not the emphasis is not on the overt expression, but the inner dynamics of having and possessing plus H. So 6, the verb rejoice here, kairo, means to be happy or glad, with the extremes of happiness assumed, but the lack of mental discord as the key. Happiness is a matter of being, if you will, at peace, harmony, satisfied, satiated in regards to things in life. And there is no mental turmoil going on in regards to your life and your thinking at that point in time. So the happiness here, the emphasis is the lack of discord in regards to our mental attitude, the consternation, things of this nature, worrying, things of this nature. So 7, the adverb always here that precedes the verb, and in all these cases, the adverbs, prepositional phrases precede the verb in the Greek for emphasis. So the adverb always, pantote, unabashedly declares that we are able to have such an attitude of plus age at any time. If the command is to rejoice always, then obviously that availability to fulfill this is always open. 8, the emphasis is not as much on having plus age, but on the possibility of having it always. In other words, not that we do, obviously, but the fact that we can. At any given point in time, we can interrupt that which is going on, creating whatever discord is going on in our thinking, and overrule that and replace it with plus age. So 9, the injunction here is expressed frequently in the New Testament. It's not unique to this particular epistle, as we read the commands for happiness or joy in Romans 12:12, 2 Corinthians 6:10, Philippians 2:18, and 1 Peter 4:13. 10, having plus age is often associated with testing and persecution. In spite of things going on around us that are not comfortable, and other aspects of pressure in our life, plus age is still possible to possess even during these times. And in that regard, it is associated with that. Acts 16:25, we saw 1 Thessalonians 1:6 regards to these saints, their population, receiving the Bible doctrine from their evangelists with joy in spite of all the tribulation and persecution that was going on around them during this time. So that is living proof, if you will, that plus age is possible even in the midst of persecution. So 11, now the dynamics of plus age here is not that the believer rejoices in his test per se, but rather in the positive and beneficial results, as we saw in 1 Peter 4:13. Again, there, reading with respect to the testing, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ. And that looks at the undeserved suffering that we as believers experience based on our position, based on our alignment with Bible doctrine. Not willing to compromise in face of antagonists, gainsayers, things of this nature. Keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation, recognizing that all the things that we experience in such fashion of persecution, etc., and testing, that when we are willing to stand firm in the faith, to keep our sin natures isolated, we are building up for ourselves our SG3 account, and the vindication will ultimately come upon and back to us at the point of our resurrection and Bema Seat ceremony. So it's not that you're doing backflips because God broke your arm, which could be a sign of discipline, by the way, broken bones. But otherwise, and we're not judging anybody if anybody broke their bones lately. That's between you and God. But it's not the test itself that you're embracing. You know, you're not some masochist, you know, that enjoys pain in life. That's not normal. is the fact that you recognize through doctrine that through the ordeal, God is working directly in your life. He is there with you. He remains at your side, if you will, under the filling ministry, and that these things are producing and fulfilling all of doctrine that we understand as being part of the Christian experience, both in time as well as eternity. So, 12, obviously, the two things that should really come to mind in this vein in regards to drawing from for our happiness, inner happiness, is A, the accelerated spiritual growth that James brings out in regards to our testing producing patience, and then in turn, patience producing the perfection or maturity adjustment in regards to our life. Again, without testing, we would basically not have any standard truly to critique and evaluate where we are spiritually, how committed we are to doctrine. The pressures that are on around you in regards to negative volition, the other people's STA, your own STA, these types of tests definitely test our grit in regards to doctrine and how we think, and these things are not going to shake us. People of that nature, even though they may blow out of class, it's not going to shake our resolve, see. No matter how close people may be, again, you never know what kind of test we may find and experience in life. But always remember that during these times, you've got to get your eyes off of people. You've got to keep them on Bible doctrine. And you've got to recognize that God is dealing directly also with you in your Christian life to build you up, to make you stronger if you are willing to apply the doctrine. And during that time, you can find the comfort necessary to maintain a relaxed mental attitude, RMA, part of happiness, in spite of the situation and the turmoil surrounding it otherwise. And through that all, you are advancing spiritually, and you're growing up spiritually, and you are building, if you will, spiritual muscle tissue to make yourself stronger for the continuing race that you choose to stay in and run according to the terms of doctrine. Other people that want to blow that off, want to trash their phase two, understand they're still in the race, but they're at the moment disqualified in regards to being any contenders for the prize. And again, you never know. Volition in itself is a two-edged sword. People could be positive one day and negative the next. See, we saw, we have examples of that. Saul, who was positive to begin with, and he went into reversionism. He went negative. See, and he died to sin unto death. So, but that does not determine what you will be. That's up to you. Our choice regards to our own volition. And we are to take these things and utilize them in order to strengthen ourselves by appealing to the doctrine and applying the doctrine to yourself otherwise. And again, it doesn't mean that you don't have sorrow and sadness regards to situations like that, but that's just the way it is. B, then the second thing where we left off, is during all this is the SG3, the potential SG3, by staying in fellowship, by staying the course for yourself, that the immense reward beyond our imagination. In fact, we cannot even explain to you the greatness of it. We're hanging in there. Matthew 5, 10 through 12. Christ taught the doctrine of SG3. It's not some imaginary principle trying to get the people, you know. To do things. It is a true doctrine. This is God's grace. This is a real revelation in regards to the grace of Jesus Christ. and what he provides for mankind through the offering of himself on the cross as our Messiah. And that is, he is willing to share all that he inherits. And guess what? He inherits every bit of it. All of God's creation in this respect. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They reflect the true citizenship of which they possess. And that kingdom is obviously part of their possession. And all that it relates to. Blessed are you when men cast insults as verbal sins at you and persecute you overtly and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me, because of Bible doctrine. See. Rejoice and be glad. Plus age. See, you are to draw from these situations the doctrine that produces plus age. For your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you, recognizing those before us who have experienced all kinds of persecution and testings and sufferings from negative volition around them, and the rewards they have coming, and we can be in the same field, the same line of blessing by God. But that demands that you keep doctrine before you, that you don't let your SCA, your emotions, to rule you. So, two things we can draw from in regards to maintaining plus age. Having plus age is the fact that we are spiritually advancing through our testing, and the SG3 that we are continuing to accumulate, which obviously, the greater the test, the greater you can expect the reward to be. So 13, now two essential ingredients necessary for this plus age include A, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and B, the intake of Bible doctrine. The filling of the Holy Spirit, Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, those things that satiate your flesh in time. The things that people generally will pursue. Great food, great liquor. See. Happiness, Funsville, the finer things of life that everybody makes the real issue of living all about. But Paul says otherwise, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The sphere of the Holy Spirit, recognized that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding the individual believer, i.e. they are pursuing fellowship with God through the filling of God, the Holy Spirit. They deal with their sin nature. They deal with their flesh and not allow the flesh to drive them and cause them to lose sight in regards to the course that is set before them through Bible doctrine. Doesn't mean everybody's perfect at all times, but overall, they sustain themselves. Then Galatians 5:22, as part of the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, in the list, but the fruit of the Spirit keeps on being. Now, if it keeps on being, that means every second you're in fellowship, you're producing that which God the Holy Spirit is designed to produce through you. For those who want to take issue, as some do, in regards to, if you're not physically, if you're not doing anything, you're not getting any SG3, like you're sleeping. I beg to differ. Even a soldier has to sleep, but they're still a soldier. See, the government still pays them for that time they sleep, because the government recognizes they got to have their sleep, even though in training you think they don't. But anyway. So it keeps on being. In this condition, it always is. See, that's it. That's the force of the Greek. And out of that, obviously, is love, divine love, agape. And joy, that's plus age. Happiness, the inner dynamics. That which is necessary to be content, to counter our otherwise frantic search of happiness, of which the STA produces in the preceding verses of 18 and following. Also peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, moderation. Against such things there is no law. So, obviously, one essential ingredient in regards to plus age, having the joy, is that you must have the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, to produce this joy. And B, the second, and just as important, is the intake of Bible doctrine. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you. What things? Bible class that he just gave them. They're following in regards to the allegory of the vine and the branches. And all dealing with the divine good production. And the necessary, the necessity of abiding in Christ, which is technical terms that John likes to use for being in fellowship. He says, these things I have spoken to you, the doctrine, that my joy may be in you. He tells us earlier that Christ in you is his words. That's resident Bible doctrine. Now he says along with that, his joy is an extension or a product, byproduct of that resident Bible doctrine. My joy be in you, and that your joy may be complete. To arrive at a maximum saturation of this plus age in time. And then obviously the real plus age comes in regards to the reward ceremony for hanging in there and doing it right. Also 17:3. Should be 13. But I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. The things again that Jesus speaks in the world is God's plan. And in 1 John 1:4. In regards to the doctrine of the epistles. As John writes this epistle, he says, "In these things we write, so that our joy may be made complete." And the expression of Bible doctrine as a communicator in regards to those who are allotted to their charge. And hence, the doctrine that they know these will receive through this epistle. And then also 2 John 12. And having many things to write to you, while the epistle basically had to take up the slack since the apostles could not be everywhere at once, that which is preferred is face to face. Having many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that your joy may be made complete or full. The real happiness comes from being face-to-face in regards to right shepherd, right congregation. So 14, no matter what circumstances, no matter what circumstances may get the believer down, through occupation with the pertinent doctrine, positive believers should be able to rise above them. Again, doesn't mean that it's not difficult at times. The STA, your emotions constantly clawing at you, trying to get a stranglehold on you. But by employing rebound and by employing the next imperative that will follow in regards to prayer and keeping your eyes focused on doctrine, you should be able to rise above the circumstances, above the situations. And again, that demands occupation with resident Bible doctrine in your soul. To bring the doctrine forth, to revisit the doctrine as necessary. And again, some tests can be extremely difficult. But when you have the doctrine, you visit that doctrine, you recognize what God's plan is with respect to that. It's amazing how much comfort one does experience. How it soothes the soul for those who are willing to embrace it and isolate their own SCAs in that regards. Just as Paul was teaching in regards to death, the previous verses, and to comfort one another with these words. See, the doctrine, to provide comfort, to have plus H, even in spite of losing a loved one. With that thinking, I'm not sure who all here might have known people at Faith Bible Church, Seddon Morelli. She passed away Friday, if you're familiar with her. If you're not, I'll just tell you that she's been in that local church for as long as I've known. And in spite of having a negative husband and kids that don't go to Bible class, have no interest in it, she hung in there. So I like to make these things known, as it is a like-minded church, which they continue to experience their testing. They get Superstorm Sandy, and then they get this. You never know. So keep Seamus, nothing else, in your prayers, as he will probably perform the memorial for and the opportunity for witness, obviously. So no matter, even in that case, no matter what circumstances may get the believer down, through occupation with the pertinent doctrine, positive believers should be able to rise above them. 15, plus H is not built or achieved by the circumstances of life. This happiness, this inner dynamic, is not based on physical conditions and the circumstances around us, whether you have a little or a lot, fun or not, pleasant or painful, as these things do not truly matter with respect to one's eternal disposition. Compare Mark 8:36. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Try to take it with you. See how far it goes. See, that's the idea. Doctrine you can take with you. Doctrine in your soul, doctrine in your human spirit. Human spirit is doctrine man, is what they call it in prep school. It's a vessel to hold doctrine. A spiritual vessel of us as well as our souls. That we take with us and the experience in that regards. But everything else physical, it will be left behind. Come in the world with nothing, you leave the same way. Except hopefully as a believer you leave with at least one other thing. That's a human spirit. You didn't come in the world with one, but you leave with one. So, again, this demands isolation of the sin nature. It demands keeping our eyes on doctrine and not to, under the fish syndrome, frantic search of happiness, under the sin nature, applying doctrine, allowing God to provide, and being content with that. So 16 plus H is a result of orientation to Bible doctrine and isolation of the STA. 17, Christ was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, yet claimed a joy that the world did not know and of which his disciples would partake. Isaiah 53:3, which is messianic, dealing with Messiah, Christ, in regard to his humanity. Obviously, his deity is always plus age. basically was normal looking. Not all these renditions, artist renditions that you see, that's all they are. Just imagination of the artists and pictures of Jesus. Like a long-haired hippie. No, not at all. He was Semitic in regard to his DNA, and he looked like a normal Jewish male would look. We do know he was in shape, being a carpenter, walking, etc. But his appearance is nothing stately. He didn't walk around with a halo over his head. That's why it's such a test, see, in regards to the religious people around them, around him. God didn't give them this sign that religious people always look for. He says, here's the doctrine. It's coming from my mouth. Here's the miracles as evidence. That's enough evidence. See. And in spite of all that he performed, 53:3 states he was despised and forsaken of men. God in the flesh, God incarnate on this planet, throughout his ministry, was despised and forsaken of men. So for the pastor, people take issue with him, big deal. You don't like it, but you're in good company. See, the prophets that, before you, same thing, they experience the same thing. People take an issue with the teaching. He was despised, forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him, exalt him appropriately. And we, that being the Jewish people, unfortunately, in the prophecy for them. Yet, Jesus Christ had plus A's throughout his life, throughout all this. No inner discord. Compare John 16, 19 through 22. Jesus knew that they wished to question him. He said to them, are you liberating about this that I said, a little while and you will not behold me, and again a little while and you will see me? In regards to the continued teaching of his mission, the first advent, of his death, his resurrection, etc. Truly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, the negative world. See, it's the opposite, the paradox of being a believer, positive believer living in the world. The world where they find all their happiness. We don't find our true happiness from the same sources. You will be sorrowful, verse 20. But your sorrow will be turned to joy when they become oriented. And that really will wait for them until Christ appears in resurrection. They still don't really get this doctrine until Christ appears in resurrection. And then all of a sudden, it starts going ka-ching. The doctrine all of a sudden starts having its value. And obviously, we see the scenarios of the joy that they experience. And verse 21, whenever a woman is in travail, she has sorrow. Because her hour has come. When she gives birth to the child, she remembers the anguish no more. For joy that a child has been born into the world. Looking at the result, the end result. And again, that reflects upon the perception and focus of the positive believer with respect to their own lives. Therefore, you too now have sorrow. But I will see you again, your heart will rejoice. And again, he's truly emphasizing, right now, you're misacclimated. Jesus has plus age at this point in time. I can guarantee you that. But they don't. Because they reject this doctrine. They don't want to buy into it. See, they don't want to buy it. Not that, well, every doctrine is fun. Nobody wants it at all times. But to be acclimated and oriented to it provides inner happiness and peace. and no one takes your joy away from you when you are oriented. And then especially when God vindicates that before you in regards to the doctrine. So Christ, in spite of his sorrows, in spite of his grief, in spite of the 12 whom he knew would ultimately be positive, and yet he had to endure them in his ministry being maladjusted otherwise. He's going to walk off, figuratively speaking, in regards to his resurrection in his ministry. But he knows, you know, they'll get together, and obviously he draws from that. But still, he was able to maintain plus ace throughout his life. So it's possible. See, always. Rejoice also. Always looks and shows and holds Jesus Christ up as a perfect example that it is possible to have this plus age at any time. At all times, if we are so volitionally inclined. So 18, to rejoice always is evidence of acclimation to one's niche, finding contentment in fulfilling God's plan for their life. To acclimate to your niche is part of the Christian struggle. For that which God puts before us on our plate, we're not going to compromise doctrine in regards to our niche. Staying in good old Cleveland area, geographically, and all that that means in regards to our employment, in regards to our relationships, things of this nature, see. But orientation to doctrine, recognizing Bible doctrine, is God's will for your life, and finding contentment in that, and waiting upon God to show His hand, which in some ways can be rather spectacular if you're lacking otherwise physically and He provides otherwise. That makes the gift, the blessing, even more spectacular. I think that about in regards to young people waiting on write-offs of numbers and things of this nature. And we don't have a large church. It's not like you can go out and line them all up and take your pick. But God can still provide. And He does provide. And the fact that maybe there isn't a large number to choose from, when He does provide, it will be more spectacular. It'll blow your mind. Oh, wow. You never know who might start showing up for Bible class. Some model somewhere. She goes positive. And she's saying, yeah, guys, right. If that's the case, divorce city for the pastor. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But you get my drift. So, but you got to give God a chance. And you don't put a time limit on God. It's either by tomorrow, God, or else, you know, I'm on my own. I'll go do it myself if you're not going to do it. Well, you never know then what kind of misery you're getting yourself into. So, anyway, all these things. And that comes from acclimation to your niche. That comes from contentment in regards to what God provides. And saying, okay, as He will go on to say, thank you for that. As we will see. So, again, point 18, rejoice always is evidence of acclimation to one's niche, finding contentment and fulfilling God's plan for their life. 19, what better source of joy than knowing you are a friend of Christ? That is, one oriented to the plan of God for their life. An example here that I like to use here is John the Baptist. John the Baptist, forerunner of Christ. And his ministry actually took precedence over Jesus Christ's ministry in time, as he was introducing, his ministry was set to, as a prophet, to introduce to Israel that their Messiah is on the scene. But then the time came that John had to take a back seat, and he recognized that, and that Jesus Christ's ministry is to have precedence. It is to have priority, obviously, in that regards. And how does he look at that whole situation? He's oriented to it. John 3:29. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. That's Christ. But the friend of the bridegroom, that's John. Who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. The best man, see, so to speak. The best man finds a great joy in regards to his friend enjoying this marriage that he's going to become involved in. See, that's a good friend that rejoices with you, is happy with you, happy for you. And John says of that, and he rejoices greatly because of bridegroom's voice here, emphasizing the ministry of Jesus Christ and his teaching. And so this joy of mine has been made full. Even though we know, and his own disciples, you know, brought the issue up in regards to John the Baptist. Even though his ministry started taking a back seat, and he had to take a back seat to that. And compare Luke 7:28. In regards to Jesus Christ and his attitude towards John, I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Doesn't say he's the greatest, but he says no one greater. You're not going to find a population that's going to exceed John the Baptist in time. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. In regards to those who will also be positive and humble themselves before God in regards to their own particular niches and eternal life niche, it will excel to that of John in time. But recognizing that Jesus Christ is your friend, that God's your friend, as Abraham is God's friend, see, and God's his friend. There should be a lot of happiness that you can draw from that. People can look at you and give you their 2 cents worth of a human viewpoint of why this, why that, in regards to why they won't orient to doctrine. And you should be able to sit there and go, I don't care. God's my friend. I mean, yeah, you do care. You don't want people to think stupid. But you can't help that. If people are going to think stupid, they're going to think stupid. No. It's just the way it is. But to have God as your friend, have God at your side, knowing that He supports the doctrine. And the evidence in regards to who's on the right side and who's still in Bible class sitting under sound teaching versus who's not. See. 20, part of the pastor teacher's source of plus age comes from orientation of the sheep to Bible doctrine. 3 John, verse 4. I have no greater joy than this, as John says, to hear my children walking in the truth. So you had a mixture, usually, in regards to the local church, of people where they're at spiritually, etc. You have those who tend to bring Lupe into your life. But then you have those who are adjusted, those who hang in there. And truly, a pastor does draw off of that greatly in regards to maintaining his own stability, his own level of plusation in his Christian life, and comfort, and drawing from that. Thank you, God, for the faithful. That always comes first. Thank you, God, for those who are maintaining fidelity to your word, to their NPR, in spite of what everybody else may do. Put it in the pastoral terms. 21, while orientation to Bible doctrine is essential to plus age, that inner orientation is evidenced in one's prayer life. It's evidenced in one's prayer life. 22, hence the next two commands, centering on prayer, beginning with, pray without ceasing. In the next verse, 17. Pray without ceasing. A litmus test of one's mental attitude geared towards plus age is seen in their commune with God through prayer. That is an acid test. Your prayer life. Whether or not truly plus age is something that you are pursuing in life. And that's where, you know, your thinking tends to direct itself. 24, if the believer's focus excludes talking to God, then they are not potential recipients possessing his plus age. If you avoid God in communion with him, you avoid God in prayer and talking to him, then where's your focus? Where's your vision? You're so wrapped up in the world that you don't even have time to say hello to God today? See? And that's the way some people's lives are. So full of the BS of the cosmos that they don't even have time to talk to God. And if you're not praying to God, you don't have a healthy prayer life. I guarantee you, your plus age is going to suffer commensurately. Because your focus is not where it should be. Especially understanding the doctrine of prayer. Praying without ceasing. See. That's how Jesus Christ is constantly in communion with his Father. So 25, now our verb pray here, which is proseukomai, that means to ask for help, usually in the form of a request. Examples we have here, Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. So the prayer here is on Paul on behalf of the Philippians. Intercession, if you will, petition. Colossians 1, 3, 9. Colossians 1, 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Verse 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the, quote, true knowledge and his will, of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Highlighting a main emphasis of pastoral prayers, the gap to truth, also Colossians 4, 3. Verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us, on behalf of the communicators, as well, Paul and company, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. Continue to bless Paul and his ministry, in spite of dire circumstances, situations, overtly. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Brothers, pray for us. In James 5:13 and 14. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So prayer, this prayer emphasizes asking, requesting on behalf of another. So therefore, 26, it emphasizes intercession or petition in those categories of prayer. Intercession, interceding, praying on behalf of another, petition, praying on behalf of oneself. 27, for the believer pursuing plus age. They look to God as a source from which comfort and encouragement is necessary to maintain plus age in the time of need. They recognize where the true source of happiness comes from. And it comes from the Father. It comes from all that He provides. Obviously, that as it reflects upon the person of Jesus Christ, filling of God, the Holy Spirit, and the truth of Bible doctrine. When we pray, we are to pray to the Father. And we look to Him when testing and persecution comes about as the salve to provide the comfort so we can keep our heads above water and maintain our disposition in inner dynamics of plus age. So 28, the adverb without ceasing, which is idea lyptos, indicates that they turn to God at all times in this vein. At any time, if you will. Just as plus age is always available, so is prayer part of one's consistent regimen and willingness to turn to God at any and all times. 29, again, this is a common injunction in the Pauline writings. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Ephesians 6:18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. You want to make it count. The filling of the Holy Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:25. In regards to praying for being Paul, then 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the Lord, word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you. Bring us in touch with more Pauline volition. That's its prayer. So 30, it was a practice that corresponded with Paul's own life. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, he made mention. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. So 31, Paul was not confined to any set hours of prayer, but could and did pray at any time, which is the emphasis of our verse. (clears throat) 32, believers should live in such communion or fellowship with God that prayer, whether spoken or unspoken, is always easy and natural. It should be second nature, basically. Maintaining an open attitude. 33, prayer is a means of strength to believers facing difficulties or testing of any kind. And the Thessalonians, obviously, would find much incentive in application considering their own specific situation of the continued persecution around them in regards to their stand for doctrine and directed towards their spiritual heads, the attacks that came upon their shepherds, as well as themselves. 34, according to Jesus, people, quote, at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. And not to lose heart means maintaining plus age, peace, and comfort otherwise. In that respect, Luke 18:1, let's take our break.